End of the week. Israel's president says that normalizing ties between Israel and Saudi Arabia is one key element for ending the war with Hamas in the Gaza Strip. More details at SRNNews.com.
Conservative Theological University now offers a bachelor's degree in ministry leadership. This is a 48-hour certified degree program designed for pastors. Ministry workers over 50 years of age with over 5 years of ministry service, call 1-800-GO-BIBLE. Please leave your name and contact info to schedule your personal interview. The CTU campus is located at 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, 1 mile south of I-295.
Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day with a goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 3 regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is heard on 2 stations in Ohio and Virginia, as well as Brunswick, Georgia, St. Augustine, and Jacksonville, Florida. There's now a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities, and we sincerely need your help to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is needed to take this next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com and click the donation button, or send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258. Attention Radio.
Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, before we get back to the issue today of Christian persecution, let me just simply do a little footnote on the broadcast for today and for what we've done for the past 10 years on Let's Face the Issues. It's almost 10 years. We're delighted that you've joined in. Many of you have been listening for most of the 10 years. But let me say this. Everything's gone up. Expenses and costs have gone up. The radio network that we're on is going up from $48,000 a year to $72,000 a year. We cannot sustain that without your financial support. We cannot continue to sustain the cost without your contribution to support this broadcast. So let me encourage you, if this broadcast each day is something that's beneficial and a blessing, if you've been tuned in, continue to tune in, but at the same time, support it. We invite you to go to fcbcatjax.com, fcbcatjax.com. Go to the donate button. Make a contribution to underwrite, something that you can do month after month after month to offset the extreme 50% increase in our radio airtime. It's not donated to us. It's not given to us. We pay for it. And the only way we can sustain the continuance of this Let's Face the Issues broadcast is if you join in, holding our hands, lifting us up financially and in prayer, that we might continue daily to face the issues. Look forward to it. Looking forward to what you're going to do in sustaining the continuance of this broadcast each and every day. Ladies and gentlemen, as we look at these specific numbers from the article that I just spoke of, before the news, more than 295,000 Christians forcibly displaced from their homes just because of being Christians. When we talk about what is taking place in America today, many today have the mindset that Christian persecution, putting Christians to death, putting them in prison, that's something that used to take place in the Bible. That's something that's taking place in foreign lands. That's not something that's taking place in America. Let me go back and reiterate a headline we read a moment ago. Biden hammered for his unconscionable war on Christian faith. A prominent publication in Washington is calling out Joe Biden for his unconscionable war on religious freedom in America, one of those freedoms protected by the First Amendment. And it goes on to talk about what he's doing in rescinding the conscious Protection Act for doctors and nurses now being forcibly required to carry out procedures like gender transition surgeries, abortion, sterilization, assisted suicide. All of these, ladies and gentlemen, that's against the Christian faith because it's against the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. But the Biden administration now has pulled all restraints, but yet that is something that is subtle. That's something that you don't know and see unless you're a Christian doctor, a Christian nurse, or a Christian medical professional. Then you know this is taking place. I'm looking at another headline. Court hears another case that wants to censor the Ten Commandments. Now, if the Ten Commandments are censored, you say, well, that doesn't affect me. Yes, it does. That's part of the Christian persecution that's taking place in America. This article says a fight in court over the representation of the biblical Ten Commandments in Arkansas is completely unnecessary, according to the officials at the First Liberty Institute. First Liberty Institute is working with Arkansas Office of Attorney General to fight the demands by the Satanic Temple, Freedom From Religion Foundation, American Humanist Association, and the Arkansas Society for Free Thinkers and others that's trying to remove the Ten Commandments. Ladies and gentlemen, multitudes of times, it's easy for a Christian to say, well, that's in another state. That doesn't affect me. That's in another state. I'm not being persecuted. It's not bothering me. I can live without the Ten Commandments in Arkansas. But ladies and gentlemen, it's another step. It's another notch. It's another chisel at taking out of our religious liberties and our freedoms that's given to us in our Bill of Rights, given to us by God, codified in the Bill of Rights. Ladies and gentlemen, today in America, we're witnessing the increasing levels of Christian persecution. No, it's not open. No, it's not hostile as in other nations. It's not those coming to the door necessarily armed with military police raiding the homes of Christians. But just consider, and I've got a whole list of things we could consider, that we could talk about the balance of this day. Let's consider some things where the doctors and the nurses are being fired, threatened because of their religious freedoms and their liberties, refusing to do abortions or transsexual surgeries. I just read the article. Think of those that are arrested for praying or preaching on the sidewalk. Listen, today in America, if you go in front of an abortion clinic and you openly pray or bow your head and pray silently, or if you stand there with the Bible, or if you open the Bible and you preach, you can be arrested in America for doing that. Ladies and gentlemen, that is persecution of our Christian faith. That's the persecution of our what we believe as Christians today. I believe that it's time that we recognize that these persecutions are taking place. I'm looking at an article that says, school prayer shut down in Oklahoma and Louisiana. Prayer is under attack in Louisiana and Oklahoma as emboldened atheists score big hits against freedom of religion in the schoolhouse. The Freedom From Religion Foundation, a notorious gang of atheists based in Wisconsin, is leading the charge in both states. Their aggrieved clients are always anonymous. None have the courage to come forward. They were especially triggered by a prayer delivered over the public address system at the elementary school in the Sooner State. Children volunteered to pray, and their photos were then posted on the school's Facebook. There's no evidence that any child was forced to deliver prayer or participate in prayer. Not good enough, said the angry atheist. The Department of Education's own guidelines reaffirmed that teachers and students and staff are not required to surrender their religious liberties and beliefs at the school property. The school district immediately dropped the prayers. Listen, because a student, without being coerced, without being pushed, voluntarily says, I'm willing to participate in praying, and now there's the mindset that a school can't do that. Ladies and gentlemen, that's Christian persecution. Christian persecution. How many times do you consider that? How many times have we heard about prayer being shut down in the public school? The U.S. Supreme Court ruled that it cannot be a prayer that is required by the school or that is led by the school, but if it's volunteered by the students, it is legal and constitutional and can be done. Now, I even personally disagree with the parameters on that statement. But nevertheless, that is the, if you please, the parameters and the infringement on our religious liberties. But now they're wanting to shut prayer down completely in places like Oklahoma, Louisiana schools, where that had been done. I'm looking at another headline. Legal team steps in to defend a teacher that's punished for praying in public. A widely recognized that students do not shed their constitutional rights at the school door. Repeatedly, the Supreme Court has affirmed and that some restrictions, things like time and place, are allowed in a very limited circumstance. Now the American Center for Law and Justice is battling for the same thing for teachers. While teachers' unions and some school districts have gone off the rail with the leftists, DEI and CRT and Marxist ideologies, many haven't. But they are. But they were told they could not pray if they could be seen doing it. Ladies and gentlemen, the mindset is that if you pray, you've got to hide in a closet as a teacher. You can't pray publicly. You can't even bow your head and let a student see you and think that you're praying. This goes on to say, the legal team explained, our client, a teacher in Texas, had gathered with two friends and fellow teachers to pray at the school flagpole before school began. See you at the polls, a national event where millions of people around the country gathered for the flagpoles to pray. The school principal called these teachers into his office. He told them that they could not pray at the pole or in the presence of any student, because if they did so, students may see it and join in. Ladies and gentlemen, that is open, in-your-face, Christian persecution. Persecution of the Christians because of our faith. Ladies and gentlemen, what I want us to understand is grasp a picture of the increasing, growing number of cases of persecution that's being carried out by state, local, and federal governmental authorities, encroaching on our liberties of the freedom that God's given us that's codified in our Constitution. It is simply egregious, and yet we see it happening. Multitudes of Christians are silent, thinking that, well, it's not me, and so it's okay. I'll read one other brief article, then we'll take our next caller. Says a Christian student was just suspended for 3 days for telling his classmates about Jesus. Simply the student using his liberties and freedoms guaranteed in our Bill of Rights, telling other students about Jesus, is suspended from school. This article goes further, says, this is absolutely appalling. If this can happen in one school, it can happen in every single school across America. That's my point. That's the point. If we allow it to happen in one place, it will grow egregiously so and cover the nation. This is what the atheists and the heathens and the Antichrist movement's doing today. They're seeing that it takes hold in one city, one state, one county, and they're forming then cases to make it be a national event that you're going to shut down prayer, shut down the public address, shut down Christian freedom. I believe I have Miranda on the line. Miranda, go with your question or comment, please.
Good morning, Dr. Youngblood. Good afternoon, really.
It is. Thank you.
Yeah. Yes. I think that we, as Christians and as conservatives, have often underestimated the patience of the other side, the patience of the left and the Democrats to erode the rights that we're guaranteed in the Constitution. It's been a slow slide into this. 20 years ago, we'd have never thought that we would see openly gay people on television, LGBTQ in our face, all the things that we're confronted with daily, pretty much. We would never have seen that. We would never have seen that. But now they have tried to normalize these deviant behaviors, and they have they've been very successful because they've got a whole young generation of people that think it's pretty much all right, you know. It's just been a slow process. I don't know if any of the listeners remember Madeline Murray O'Hare.
Mm-hmm.
She's the woman that was primarily the leader in the group of people that had prayer removed from the public schools. And
back in 1961.
She was a very belligerent, abrasive, hateful woman. I don't know if you've ever seen her interview, but she's awful.
Yes, yes.
She was awful. She I'll say was, because she is no more. She has gone on. But it was a very small group of people that were with her that wanted prayer removed from the public schools. But, oh, my gosh, it happened, you know. And most people were like, oh, well, you know, I mean, well, we can't pray at the school, blah, blah, blah. You know, I mean, it was like we just accepted it and tolerated it. But we've been too tolerant. You know what I'm saying? We've been too tolerant. We have, as Kenneth says, we need to fight back.
Absolutely. Well, Miranda, one Absolutely. Of the truths that we need to recognize and our listeners need to understand is that the left, as we need to call them, those that are anti-Christ, anti-God, anti-prayer, anti-Bible, anti-Christian, I could go on and on and on, they are willing to do things and take things in a small incremental basis. And we've been watching for the past 20 to 30 years now the incremental movement to undermine and destroy the Christian liberties and the freedoms that we have in America. And in doing so, it is Christian persecution. By the way, you talked about Madeline Murray O'Hara. It is an intriguing, I don't know if you are familiar with the in-depth, and time won't allow to go into the depth of it, but with one of her sons and the Atheist Association that she was running, about $750,000 in gold coins were stolen. And when they traced it down, the end result was those that had manipulated her son that was left, the one that was a atheist also, and had gotten the money, wound up that Madeline Murray O'Hara was killed. Her body was mutilated, hands, arms, legs, feet, head, put in a 55-gallon drum barrel, and incinerated material put on it. She was burned, and the body was finally found in that intriguing, elongated investigation. And so it was almost like the biblical account of the one that was thrown down and the dogs ate her hands, feet, and legs, the very things that carried out the dastardly deed against the Christians were evidently burned in that demise of Madeline Murray O'Hara. It's an interesting, sad, but yet interesting and challenging fate as a result of what she had done, her end result and her death. It is interesting how God pays back in some cases like that. But Miranda, you're exactly right. We need to recognize that the left, the movement that's trying to undermine, tear down, and destroy America and is trying to persecute Christians, they're working methodically. They're working incrementally. And as Christians, we fail to recognize those incremental, methodical movements and keep sloughing it off. As you said, well, we can't pray in school, so what? It's not so what. We need to stand up for what is the rights that God's given us and that we have in our Bill of Rights. And it's time for Christians to stop being silent. That's my opinion. And as Kenneth said, we need to fight back. The Apostle Paul talked about the Christian faith being a fight. And that's where we are today. But Miranda, thank you so much for your comments. You're spot on with them. We need to just keep looking up. We need to stop being silent as Christians. We need to stand up, speak up, be heard, be seen, and stand for victory in these last days. Thank you so much, and God bless you. I'm looking at the headline, ladies and gentlemen. Arrested simply for reading the Bible. Police detained four young Christians at a drag queen event. Four young Christians were arrested in Watertown, Wisconsin, while they were preaching the gospel at a public drag queen show focusing on children. Organizers of the city's annual event known as Pride in the Park had advertised the show being held in the public park as a family-friendly environment. But ladies and gentlemen, four young men, Christians, willing to stand on the sidewalk. They weren't on private property, on the sidewalk, where you can have, as you notice just in recent years, mobs and riots and burning bombing buildings, et cetera, by the BLM and Antifa. And it was considered by the Marxist media as quiet, peaceful demonstrations. But ladies and gentlemen, when four young men stand on the street corner and preach the gospel, preaching the word of God, somehow, some way that's wrong. And so they're detained, they're arrested, ladies and gentlemen. That is Christian persecution. Christian persecution. Listen, had that been the group that's so-called Palestinians marching, demonstrating, demanding that Israel be wiped out and eradicated, eviscerated, they're given the freedom to do that, blocking streets, blocking entrances to buildings and businesses. But four young men on the sidewalk preaching at a drag queen event, and they're arrested. Ladies and gentlemen, that's Christian persecution. And on the face of it, it's Christian persecution. Yet I've not seen a pastor, preacher, teacher, Christian leader, any place in America stand up and speak against that and to challenge it. That is unbiblical. It is unChristlike. It is unholy. It's wrong, and it ought not to be allowed in America. I believe Jose is on the line. Go over to the question or comment, please.
I mean, the funny thing about all of this is pretty much a spiritual battle, brother, because the devil doesn't go against his own. You know what I mean? He just play low. He doesn't say anything. But as soon as somebody speak truth, speak life, speak about the real God, Jesus, and the God Almighty, then you see him whining, complaining, and jumping. Same thing with the conservatives. Where they go to any church, you see all those anti-Christians claiming the separation of church and state. But yeah, the liberals can go to their so-called churches. They can run their mouths. They can say anything they want, and that's okay. So what I see, brother, is a spiritual battle. You don't see those liberals going against Muslims. You know what I mean? Oh, no.
That's
they
right.
Don't say anything about Muslims. They don't say anything about the oppression of the woman, because that's an oppressing, abusive religion against women. You don't see and say anything. But yeah, anything that a Christian does, the devil and his minions always jam, always make marches and everything. That's what it all boiled down to, brother. And it's sad to say, but that's the infiltration that we see everywhere. It's like a cancer, you know what I mean? They infiltrate everywhere, and they're trying to dictate to the normal, common-sense people of this country. And the worst part that I see, brother, is a small minority. It's not a 99% of people in America. It's a small minority that they got a huge loudspeaker nationwide, and it's the wicked, twisted, evil media that we see every single day repeating their lies, and the people doesn't know better. There's not a balance on the other side. You know what I mean? It's very, very sad what's going on in America, and I guess all we can do is just stand for truth, speak to whoever we can with love, but not lowering the standard and telling what the Bible is, what the Bible says. You know what I mean? Because this generation is just being misled with the social media, with the TV, with the movies, with the pornography, music that is going on nowadays. That's what's going on. It's a complete brainwash of everything that is negative calling it good, and everything that is good calling it evil. But that's what the Bible says, and it's one of the signs of the last days. I don't know what you take on that, brother, but that's the way that I see it. You know what I mean? It's sad.
You're exactly right, and it is open Christian persecution. All not to be accepted, all not to be embraced. We need to stand against it. We need to recognize what is taking place and say, no, 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 not on my watch. We're not going to allow it. But it is what one writer said, Christian writer, a number of years ago. He said it's the war against God, the war against God. And what we're really watching is a war between the Savior and Satan. And we are the chessmen that the war is being played through, but we need to recognize that we win in the end, but it's difficult days that we need to go through. But you're
Amen,
exactly
brother.
Right.
And if you can read Ecclesiastes 10:2, that's a powerful verse, and it's telling us why we are on the right side. Ecclesiastes 10:2. God bless you, brother.
God bless you, Jose. Thank you for your call, and thank you for your insight. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm looking at a headline. Washington students marched to principal's office and lectured for wearing T-shirts that simply said, there's only two genders. only two genders. Ladies and gentlemen, the footage captures, footage captured the teacher decrying the pride is synonymous with inclusivity, while other options reflected the opposite. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about Christian persecution. That telephone number is 904-831-0917. We still have a few moments left on the broadcast today. Time for you to dial in, join in the dialogue and discussion. Do you see Christian persecution, these things we're talking about? What about the military personnel? Thousands of them that were processed out of the military, removed from service because they refused to take the death jab called COVID vaccination. Ladies and gentlemen, today, Christian educators are threatened, prosecuted, even persecuted for refusing to use woke cultural pronouns. Do you realize, ladies and gentlemen, teachers are being refused to go into the classroom if they're Christians and refuse to use the woke pronouns rather than he or she, male or female? The teachers are being fired just because of their position on subjects like that. Ladies and gentlemen, it is simply an egregious scenario, but the problem that I find, if I can address it, is that most Christians, most conservatives, have the mindset that it doesn't affect me, and I'm going to be silent. I'm looking at a headline. State excludes Christians from preschool lunches. California state officials agreed to settle with the Church of Compassion and Dayspring Christian Learning Center Tuesday for nearly $200,000 because the church and their program was excluded from the church's preschool program. It was because it was a Christian school, Christian church, and so the state excluded them from the school lunch program that other students were receiving, and it's because they were Christians. Ladies and gentlemen, that's Christian persecution. Another headline, Biden administration newly proposed policy cancels Christian parents. A proposed Biden administration policy change may prevent foster Christians from being placed in the homes of Christians, foster children being placed in the homes of Christians. The new rule disallows the placement of any child in the homes of foster parents who oppose transgender or LGBTQ ideologies. The policy was announced in the Department of Health and Human Services in September and requires caregivers to undergo cultural competency training to ensure the minors are placed in homes accepting their sexual orientation. Ladies and gentlemen, that's Christian persecution. Telling a Christian parent, a Christian couple, you cannot adopt a child unless you embrace the LGBTQ agenda. If you're unwilling to embrace that agenda, then you cannot adopt a child. Ladies and gentlemen, that's persecution, prosecution of the Christian as a result of their stated beliefs and stand. Some states are punishing Christian preschoolers, canceling the lunch program, as I spoke of. Christian parents are barred from adopting kids if they're not willing to embrace the LGBTQ. Some retirement centers are banning Christian liberties and not allowing prayer in their own homes and some of the federally financed retirement centers. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to look up, lift up our heads. Our redemption draweth nigh. We need to stop being silent. Stand, be heard, be seen. Stand for the Christian faith. Don't bow and don't bend. Keep on standing up. Thank you for joining us today. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located 1 mile south of I-295. FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 10, for expository.